Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. We're off and running our midweek edition, Wednesday, October 30th, 2013. The Buckmaster Show. We're live 12:04 to 1 each weekday on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. Joining me across the glass, the ace producer, Rosemary Brandt, who is always available to take your calls on the Buckmaster Show live line, 790-2040. If you have a question or comment for our leadoff newsmaker today, Pima County Sheriff Clarence Dupnik. After Sheriff Dupnik, a preview of a new event being staged by the Tucson YMCA. That's coming up this Sunday, and we'll close out the show with our monthly blogger beat. We speak with blogger David Safir of Blog for Arizona. Again, 790-2040, and we want to invite you, as we do each day, to join us on Facebook as we push toward 3,000 friends. Very proud of that, of the Buckmaster Show, as we push toward our three-year anniversary of the program. Let's welcome now Sheriff Clarence Dupnik. Sheriff, how are you?
I'm just fine, and congratulations on 3 years.
Yeah, coming up on 3 years. I can't believe it. We started all of this January 3rd at another radio station, and then we quickly moved over here to KVOI in June of 2011. But time flies, Sheriff. Doesn't it?
It certainly does. The older you get, the faster it goes.
Yeah, I want to begin with talk about SWAT. Since the 1960s, in response to a range of perceived threats, law enforcement agencies across the country at every level of government have been blurring the line between police officers and soldiers, so writes an article in the Wall Street Journal, a guy by the name of Radley Balko. He's the author of a book, The War on the Warrior Cop, and he says maybe time to reconsider the militarization of American policing. What do you think?
Well, you're talking to the right guy, because I started out as a beat cop in 1958, the Tucson Police Department, and what has changed is not so much law enforcement, but the culture itself has changed. You know, when I first came on, people slept with their doors unlocked, their windows open, and so forth. It was a very peaceful place.
When you were on the night shift, did you sometimes go almost an entire shift without one call?
Sometimes you might get three calls a week, depending on what beat you had. And we didn't have any daytime burglaries at all. All the burglaries happened at night and only at businesses. There were no burglaries during the daytime. And you probably can suspect why that was the case and why it's no longer the case, and it's because today nobody is in the home during the daytime.
Mm-hmm. Both parents are working, the kids are in school. Yeah, I mean, I hear you. So you're saying basically it's not so much the police who have changed, it's the police changing with the changing times.
Absolutely.
And recently, Pima County and other jurisdictions agreed to settle the case of Jose Garena, who was killed in a May 2011 SWAT operation, highly publicized. You weren't in favor of settling on this one?
No, and it's because we didn't do anything wrong. You know, if you looked at all the aspects of that particular case and what we were confronted with, and you understand how we behaved and how he behaved, you might come to a different conclusion. We pulled up with our heavy equipment in the front yard, sirens blaring, red lights lighting, mm-hmm. and loudspeakers. And in three different times, in English and in Spanish, we announced who we were. The whole neighborhood was awake. This was not during the nighttime. This was during the daytime and the morning. there's no doubt in my mind that this individual knew that we were there. Can't prove that because he's dead. But in response to numerous attempts to get somebody to come and open the door, which they almost always do, we had to force our way into the house. And he came out of a hallway with an assault rifle pointed at a cop. Had he shot, he would have – had he hit one of us in the right place, he would have killed us because our vests do not stop assault rifles.
Oh, the bullet would...
It would go right through it. We don't have the ability, and unless you have very specialized, highly... I don't know what I want to say, but very unusual equipment, you're not going to be able to stop a rifle.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he pointed the rifle at the five or six cops that were at the doorway, they fired, and he tried to fire, but the safety was on his rifle, and I don't think he realized that.
Let's go now to the Buckmaster Show live line. Bruce Ash is on the live line, and he has a question or comment for Sheriff Dubnyk. Go ahead, Bruce.
Sheriff Dubnyk, thank you for your service to Pima County and the state of Arizona. A question related to the Garena shooting. All things considered, given the loss of life that occurred, if there was another way to have achieved the same goal for the sheriff's office, would you have perhaps acted differently? Was there another way to do what you wanted to do other than going to the home, given the loss of life?
Well, first of all, thanks for what you said, Bruce. I appreciate it. But what I was going to say to Bill was that life has changed. You know, we have served in the last few years over 200 high-risk search warrants. And the reason we have all the specialized equipment and specialized training, those guys train one full day every 2 weeks. We are very good at what we do, and we are not only recognized nationally but internationally. If we didn't come with the specialized equipment and in the tactics that we utilize, we would really endanger the public and also our officers and also the people inside. Almost, I can say most, of the cases that we serve search warrants on involve narcotics, and in most of them, weapons are found in the house.
All right. Sheriff Clarence Dubnyk is with us. Matt is next on the Buckmaster Show. Matt, go ahead.
First, I'd like to echo what Bruce said. I have the highest respect for you, Sheriff Dubnyk, and I think that you and your officers face an unbelievably different world today. However, I would like to ask the question. What concerned me is that on the Greno case is, were your officers aware? Is this the case where he's a veteran?
That's the Marine, yes, sir.
Now, were your officers aware prior to entering that house that you were dealing with a combat veteran?
Yes.
Now, Sheriff, would you know, having known how we deal today with post-traumatic stress disorder and with the realities of the war, and their training, would beg the question that Bruce brought up: is there a better way to handle a situation like that? Especially when you have a combat veteran and he has a wife and children inside his home.
There's no way to know that he's suffering from post-traumatic stress, and that he is going to present himself with a rifle at a cop. There's just no way to anticipate that kind of behavior. I understand what you're saying, and I appreciate what you're saying, and also I appreciate your kind remarks.
And we also appreciate Matthew, who is a combat veteran himself, Sheriff, and a regular caller to the program, and we thank Matthew for his service. Yeah, I was reading in that op-ed piece that you had in the Star that I guess the SWAT team was formed, what, in 1971, and for over 40 years the SWAT has carried out more than 2,000 warrants, and deadly force has rarely been used, I guess.
That's a fact, and this is the first service of a search warrant that has ended in a homicide.
So, and you say that the training has been recognized as some of the best in the country.
That's a fact. Some of our SWAT people have trained and taught in various police agencies in most of the states in this country. And in fact, Dr. Carmona, who is one of our people, is responsible for adding the medical component of SWAT tactics.
Sheriff Clarence Dubnyk with us on the Buckmaster Show. We're speaking about SWAT teams. There's an article, a new book actually, called The Rise of the Warrior Cop. And the author is contending, basically, that we need to take another look at SWAT teams because SWAT teams were once rare, but now they operate at every level of government. And Sheriff Dubnyk says that this is really, it's not the police that have changed, it's society.
And the SWAT has been a response to the change.
Yeah. Home invasions, is that becoming more and more a problem?
It's a huge problem.
I know it is up in our area in the foothills, and we've reinstigated in our little neighborhood the Neighborhood Watch program. I think that's the right move, wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely, and there are some target hardening things that you can do to really make yourself a lot safer, and one of them is by having a front porch that's enclosed and with a locked door that you can see through. They're not going to come to a front door. First, if they have to go through a security door outside, they're not gonna do that because they're afraid you're gonna come out maybe with a gun and shoot them.
Yeah,
but it's a very serious problem.
Some of the neighbors have gone to that where you have so there is a where the front door, Sheriff, becomes the second line of defense, so to speak.
Absolutely,
you've got an iron gate with a padlock in front of the door.
That's correct.
Yeah.
With a bolt.
With a bolt. So the whole idea is to make it as difficult for the intruder.
Well, you can open your front door without exposing yourself to a shotgun.
Mm-hmm. Clarence Dubnyk with us. Sheriff, I was also looking at a story that shows that your deputies, how are they doing as far as their pay compared with other officers? Are you still having an issue with that, or are you pretty much now have achieved equality, pay equality anyway?
You know, we are very fortunate to have Mr. Chuck Huckleberry as our county manager and the members of the Board of Supervisors who are exceptionally, in my judgment, supportive of the Sheriff's Department. We haven't been able to get a substantial raise per se, but that's because of the economy. But some cities, including the city of Tucson, have had to furlough people, and they're scheduled for a raise, I think, this month or next month, and I don't know whether that's going to come about or not because the city is in serious financial problems.
How's your staffing right now?
Our staffing is where it's supposed to be.
And response times?
Now, our response times, let me say that we put the highest priority on responding to calls. And we respond there's only three law enforcement agencies that have a faster response time than us, and one of them is not the city.
Who are the others?
Well, one of them is Scottsdale.
Okay.
Scottsdale. Oh, I forgot the other two.
Okay, but so we're in the top three with response times.
Yes, we are.
On average, if someone calls, they can expect someone, what, in just within 10 minutes? Or how
within 5 minutes if it's a priority.
All right. Sheriff Clarence Dubnyk, thank you very much for your service and interesting conversation about the SWAT team. So, Sheriff, thanks a lot, and we'll be talking to you again.
Hey, thank you for what you did.
Thank you very much. Sheriff Clarence Dubnyk with us on the Buckmaster Show, our midweek edition. We're pushing now toward 12:19. We'll be right back. Please support these people who are supporting us on the Buckmaster Show.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
In my 25 years in Tucson, I have had only one dentist, Dr. Lisa Fogel. This highly skilled dental professional has a caring, friendly, can-do attitude that makes Dr. Fogel the choice of the Buckmaster family. Dr. Fogel's lovely state-of-the-art dental office is conveniently located on North Swan, just south of Speedway. For an appointment, call 881-1856 or visit lisafogeldentalessentials.com.
Looking for a family-friendly outing? Gather up the kids and head to the Desert Museum for the Beth Nielsen Chapman Concert on November 16th. The greatest journey you'll ever find. After the concert, enjoy Mighty Sky Night when the museum stays open till 10 p.m. for astronomy-inspired activities and nocturnal animal presentations. Chapman is an internationally acclaimed singer-songwriter. Songs from her Parents' Choice award-winning album, The Mighty Sky, use melodies and lyrics to highlight the wonders of the solar system.
Listen up, children, got a story to tell. There's music out in space ringing clear as a bell.
Chapman will also perform her biggest hits, like This Kiss and Happy Girl, made famous by Faith Hill and Martina McBride. Tickets for this musical adventure are only $10 for children and $20 for adults for the 3 p.m. matinee performance. For more information and to purchase tickets, go to desertmuseum.org and click on the Mighty Sky icon.
Chance plays a big part in today's world. There's a 5% chance you were born with an extra rib, a 12% chance we'll have a solar megastorm in the next decade, and a 20% chance that if you got in a road accident in Sweden, it was caused by an elk. Well, Cox Business understands that chance has no place in running a small business. Get business internet and phone for just $99 a month and enjoy the 100% certainty that comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's right. You get 100% certainty with phone features like on-the-go voice manager and internet speeds faster than basic DSL. Plus, 100% confidence with service that's been honored with the J.D. Power Award for highest in customer satisfaction with small mid-sized business wireline service. Make the switch today and get some certainty in an otherwise uncertain world. There's now a 99% chance this commercial is over, except for the legal.
Offer ends 12/31/13. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply. Must be claimed within 30 days of service activation. Other conditions apply. For J.D. Power Award information, go to jdpower.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Coming up now on 12:23 on this lovely Wednesday afternoon, the YMCA of Southern Arizona holding its, annual, but it's actually its first annual, so that makes it the inaugural Gold Rush event this Sunday at Old Tucson. Kathy Hanley is the event chair, and Kathy is with me in studio. And next year you probably will call it the second annual. So right now we're off to the first annual.
Right. It's the inaugural event. Even though the foundation has been around since 1973, this is our first fundraising event for the benefit of the YMCA.
Let's talk about the Gold Rush event. What are you planning?
Well, it's going to be this Sunday, November 3rd, in the Old Tucson Studios out on Kinney Road. The park is actually open from 9 to 5. We are going to have YMCA family activities, however, between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. And, Bill, that will encompass, like, face painting, balloon making, some aquatic games.
How about those gun and stunt shows?
Oh, your ticket, your admission will also include all the activities that are out at Old Tucson Studios. For example, the Can-Can show and the train out there. So you can not only go and to all of their activities, but we're inviting everybody, all the general public. You do not have to be a member of the Y to come on out and join in the fun.
Discounted admission,
yes,
for the all day. And I understand they say there's no free lunch, Kathy, but in this case, Saturday, there's free lunch. Who's doing
it? It's Sunday.
Sunday.
Yeah.
Big
Jake's Barbecue. Your price of admission for a family packet of four, two adults, two children between the ages of 4 and 11, kids 3 and under get in free. You're $75 to get in. If you're a military family, you get in it for $65. Not only does that include all the activities that the Y will have for the family from 10 to 2, it will also include all the park activities at Old Tucson Studios and lunch for four at Jake's Barbecue. So you get all of those benefits for a great price. And if you went out and got tickets on your own, you'd pay $100. So you're saving $25 by ordering tickets through the YMCA.
And go to the Y, TucsonYMCA.org will get you the ticket
information. Right. And you have to go, it's Tucson. YMCA.org/specialevents.CF, as in Frank, M as in Mary, or you're welcome to call Amy Rubin at the Downtown Y. Amy's phone number is area code 520-623-5511, and Amy is at extension 254, and she'll set you up. We're going to also have a will call window because we're getting closer to the event. So we'll have a will call window out at Old Tucson Studios if we don't have time to mail your tickets out to you.
Kathy Hanley is with us. She is the event chair of the upcoming Gold Rush event, and we are proud here at Good News Communications that K-Love is one of the K-Love 88.1, positive and encouraging, one of the media sponsors of the event. Let's talk about where the proceeds will go for this.
Well, not only the proceeds from the admission, but I also wanted to mention, Bill, we have a raffle, and we'll be selling raffle tickets also through our website or call Amy, and you may purchase them the day of the event up till 12:30. We've got over $4,000 in raffle prizes donated, and they include a couple of beachfront properties down in Mexico for vacations, Los Ventana Canyon, two-night stay and dinner for two. We've got a lot of gift certificates to numerous restaurants here in town. Oro Valley Bike Shop donated a bike helmet and gift certificate. Gadabout donated a gift certificate as well. So
there's
all
even
the proceeds,
a Harley Davidson a leather jacket.
Yes, and that is gorgeous. I've seen that and stuff. So we've got lots of activities going on, but the proceeds will go to benefit YMCA camp, and we've got five branches to help out the children in the community. Who want to go to the Y and toward activities for families in southern Arizona.
Well, across Pima County, one in five residents is touched by a Y program.
Right. We have over 58,000 members at our five main branches. We also have child care facilities scattered around the community. And we've got the Tri-Y camp up in Oracle. But amazingly, about one in five, like you say, Bill, are impacted by YMCA programs.
How did you get involved with the Y?
Well, actually, I'm from Columbus, Ohio. I've been out here for about 7 years, and I was a board member back in Columbus for 18 years and was very active, went to the Y two or three times a day sometimes. I worked downtown Columbus, and I also served on numerous fundraising committees back there.
So when people think, well, the Y is just a gym, I mean, these other programs, so many kids are impacted too.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And we are one of the leading nonprofit agencies in southern Arizona to promote social responsibility, healthy living, and family fun. And we're inviting everybody to come out on Sunday, November 3rd, to the YMCA Gold Rush inaugural event. It's going to be a great time. And great weather. It's not going to be real hot on Sunday.
No, it should be. Actually, this would be a nice cool weekend. I would say it's probably going to be the coolest weekend since maybe April or May of last year.
I think you're right, Bill.
Yeah.
Right.
So, I mean, it's going to be absolutely perfect for the YMCA of Southern Arizona, their inaugural Gold Rush event and raffle, over $4,000 in raffle prizes. There's a three-night stay at a three-bedroom condo down in San Carlos, Mexico. That's one of the raffle gifts. So check it out. It is Sunday at Old Tucson, and you can go definitely to the tucsonymca.org/specialevents.cfm. Kathy Hanley, thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Come on out on Sunday. Enjoy.
All right. Thanks, Kathy. Have a great weekend.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. A spokeswoman for the Department of Health and Human Services says people who use the healthcare.gov website to register for health insurance exchanges, if they can successfully do so, can be confident that their information is protected by stringent security. There are fresh concerns today about the security level at the Obamacare website. Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius delivered a message to Americans today. You deserve better. She apologized for the problems plaguing the Obamacare website. The Federal Reserve says the U.S. economy still needs the benefit of an economic stimulus program. The Fed announcing it will continue buying $85 billion a month in bonds to prop up the struggling economy. The Dow's down 58 points, and NASDAQ Composite Index off 21. More details at srnnews.com.
Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico make a great getaway for a weekend or longer. It's just 3 hours or so from Tucson and 15 degrees cooler to get to an area with so much to offer, from hiking, camping, exploring downtown historic Silver City, or just relaxing in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay and visit in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico.
Inside Tucson Business is your best source for the business news of metropolitan Tucson. Whether you own or manage a company, want to start your own company, or just want to know what's happening with the region's economy, you need to read Inside Tucson Business, Southern Arizona's business news leader. Read us online at InsideTucsonBusiness.com or call 294-1200 to get your copy today. Inside Tucson Business. It's not personal. It's just business.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Even the highest efficiency washing machine won't make your laundry soft and bright if you have hard water. It's the same for your dishwasher with spotted glasses. So why not call the Culligan man? Culligan now has a high-efficiency water softener that virtually eliminates hard water problems throughout your entire home. Your laundry is brighter and softer, glasses and shower doors are spot-free, and soaps and detergents last longer. Plus, it saves you up to 46% in water, salt, and energy. So if you're looking for ways to end hard water problems and save money around the house, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener works wonders. In fact, it makes all of your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer. Thanks to Culligan, 100% satisfaction guarantee, your future, your home, and your laundry are guaranteed to be brighter. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan. Better water, pure and simple.
Limited time offer.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Another business trip? Why don't you just drive instead of fly?
Well, nobody brings me snacks or drinks in my car. Very seldom do I get to watch a first-run movie or take a nap while driving.
No, seriously. It must be much cheaper to drive.
Not really. I checked out TIA's cost comparison calculator. Flying from Tucson isn't just convenient. It can actually save money.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It's 12:35 on this Wednesday afternoon. We are here with you each weekday, 12:04 to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, and we invite you to join us every day live if you can. We're streaming at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. But we also have an extensive podcast program for you at my website, buckmastershow.com, TucsonSentinel.com, TucsonCitizen.com, all picking up our show. And so it's available for you on your schedule. And also there are links on the Green Valley News and Sahuarita Sun. Also, blog for Arizona, which the Washington Post called Arizona's number one political blog site in the state. And speaking of Blog for Arizona, David Safir of Blog for Arizona is with us. David, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you, Bill?
Very good. David is covers our blogger beat. David, one of about 24, 25 contributors on a regular basis to this program, and we thank them very much for doing so. In addition to his service for Blog for Arizona, David is doing now a education column in the Tucson Weekly, along with his monthly column in Northwest Explorer. The Weekly, you should, in this current issue that will be available over the internet and at all the local outlets, the hard copy, you've got a piece, a column this week.
I do. I checked all morning to see if it was up online, and it wasn't yet.
Usually so about 4 or 5 in the afternoon.
Is that what it is? Okay. Well, it isn't there yet, but what I wrote about was a guy named Craig Barrett, and he's a well-known secret to some people, and other people don't know anything about him at all. But what people really don't know is he's probably the most powerful person in terms of education funding and policy in the state, and he's not elected. So I decided in this weekly article, let's see who this guy is.
Who is he? I mean, and what has – how has he risen to such prominence among certain folks?
Well, I'll tell you, it's – easier to be prominent if you're very rich. And he's very rich, and he made his money by being the CEO of Intel. He's a very smart guy, very highly trained.
That's where I've heard the name.
And
okay.
And yes. So he's worth hundreds of millions of dollars. I don't know how he ranks in Arizona, but he's just under the billion-dollar range. And because of that, he carries weight if he wishes to. Well, he got involved with Basis Charter Schools around 2008, and right now he's the president and chairman of the Basis Board of Directors. And around that same time, he got involved with schools. Recently, as of 2011, I believe, he began to head Governor Brewer's Arizona Ready Education Council, which is really the think tank for what's going to go on in the future. Now, that's fine, and he's earned a certain amount of prestige, though I do have a feeling that rich people get a pass, because if you're that rich, people have to listen to you. People listen to Bill Gates. And to be honest, sometimes Bill Gates spouts trash. Sometimes it's very good, but people give him a pass. The same thing happens with Craig Barrett here.
And what are his beliefs when it comes to education?
Well, if you put his beliefs together with the beliefs that are coming out of the Arizona Ready Education Council and their funding priorities that they've listed, and add in another guy who is Senator Chester Crandall, who probably will carry the bills through the legislature, here are the kind of things you get. He doesn't want another penny in K-12 school funding, not a penny. Now, this is interesting because a few years ago, he made a splash, I think in the middle of 2011, by saying, you know, right now, if I were to locate an Intel plant, I don't think I'd locate in Arizona because the education isn't good enough. And one of the problems is funding. Okay. Well, since he said that, the funding has gone down. Over the last 5 years, we've lost 20% of our education funding. And he says it's fine as it is.
Yeah, so he wouldn't put another dime in.
Not another penny, no. And he said that. The person actually who has the best article I've read about him is Howard Fisher, who wrote from him a bit. And you know, Fisher, he knows how to get at people and get information, mm-hmm. So sure. He pulled it out. Most people don't get to that part.
All right, 790-2040, 790-2040. David Safir is here from Blog for Arizona. You are our listeners always welcome. If there is anything that you hear during the next few minutes that you disagree with David on, David would welcome hearing from you because David likes to hear dissenting opinion.
I do indeed.
So basically, his other beliefs concerning, you said,
well,
not a dime
he,
to...
Remember, he's not going to raise any school funding, but he'd like more of what's there to go to charter schools. He feels like it's inequitable, the amount that goes to charter schools as opposed to the school districts. And this is a fight that people carry on. And to be honest, it gets so complicated that depending on where you start, you can prove either side. But here's a fact. If more money goes to charter schools and we're not adding any money, it's a zero-sum game. Less money is going to go to school districts. So school districts that are already hurting are going to get less still, while charters, who are probably hurting as well, are going to get more. Remember, he's the president and chair of Basis Charter Schools, their board of directors. He's also on the board of directors of the for-profit K-12 Inc., which also runs charter schools, in that case online charter schools, and runs one here, Arizona Virtual Academy, that has about 4,200 students or something like that. So a man who has two charter schools that he's heavily invested in, who says, I want more money for charter schools, people need to know that, need to know where he's coming from. There's a bit of a conflict of interest here.
All right, David Safir, that piece about Mr. Greg Barrett will be in the Tucson Weekly. Talking a little bit about the tuition tax credits, you took issue with a Star piece. I think it's commonly referred to kind of as the Geico story.
The Star had a story, and it was carried elsewhere, about the wonderful thing that Geico, you know, the insurance people, mm-hmm. did, where they gave $8 million, they donated $8 million in tuition tax credits to a school tuition organization, which is the way you do it, and then they're supposed to give it out as scholarships. And what irked me about that coverage is not the fact that they said that they gave the money, but that they didn't point out that they get all the money back. Tuition tax credits, like any tax credits, you give the money, then when you pay your taxes, you pay that much less. So Geico, either over 1 year or a series of years, will pay $8 million less in taxes. If you do the very simple math, Geico doesn't spend a penny, the taxpayers spend $8 million, and it goes where Geico wants it to go, into vouchers. So I don't want to give Geico any credit for this. We can discuss vouchers till we're blue in the face. That's another issue. But right now the issue is don't give Geico credit for telling the state where to spend my tax dollars. That's problematic.
Let's go now to the Buckmaster Show live line. We have Dan with us. And David, if you will slip on that headset, we'll be able to hear Dan. Dan, you are up with David Safir. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you. I've always wondered about the cost of these different programs. I don't know what this fellow's background is, but does he know or can he tell us the cost of all funding, federal, state, local, of the average student in our Tucson district as compared to the charter school child and the private school child?
That's an interesting question. So it would be a per capita, per student, public schools versus the charter
school. Dan, it's a really difficult question. As I said, it's hard to parse it. The best I heard, actually, from a guy who is a Republican who also teaches in Amphi School District and ran for office last time, he went through this and he said, basically, when you figure out the money that goes to the kid, the average kid in a seat in a classroom, the charters and school district schools get more or less the same amount, and one will get more because it's got more poor kids or more special ed kids or more ELL kids, and one will get less. But he felt, and remember, this is someone who is not coming from my more liberal persuasion, he felt that it was more or less even. Now, as for private schools, you'll have a private school that'll charge $3,000 tuition. You'll have another private school, maybe St. Gregory's, that'll charge $20,000 plus a year. That's far more. The St. Gregory's is charging 2.5 to 3 times more than it costs to educate a kid in public district schools or public charter schools. They're both public.
Dan also asked about your background, and you do have a background in education. Briefly tell our
right.
listeners.
I taught high school English for more than 30 years in the Portland, Oregon area, and I took a number of graduate courses. I got my master's in urban studies, but it was urban studies with an emphasis in urban education. So I've read a lot, and I've studied a lot, and I try to make sure that I know what I'm saying before I say it and qualify things with I don't know before I start into something.
Yeah, and you've been on Robin Hiller's fine show, State of Education,
sure.
A couple of times, so you're very much involved with education. Robin does a show here on KVOI on Saturday does a nice job. 11 a.m.?
It's noon.
No,
noon to 1
me.
On Saturday.
Yes, thank you very much for that, David. Okay, we're going to take a break right here. When we come back, are these school vouchers gaining popularity or losing? We'll ask David about that when we continue with the Wednesday edition of the Buckmaster Show. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Immerse yourself in the wonders of science with the new UA SciPass. Explore Flandreau Science Center, Stewart Observatory Mirror Lab, and Biosphere 2 at a 36% total savings by purchasing your UA SciPass for only $30. This VIP pass will be available for a limited time and is brought to you in partnership with UA Bookstore and can be purchased by visiting b2science.org. Visit these science wonders today with the new UA SciPass.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion of the Buckmaster Show brought to you by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. So much to do over there. It's just three and a half hours east of Tucson. Hike along the lovely Continental Divide Trail. And this time of year, folks, oh my goodness, late autumn or mid-autumn. It's so beautiful over there along the Gila River. Lots of great places to stay. That will not be your problem, finding a good place to stay, including Bear Creek Cabins, Little Toad Creek Inn, and Pinos Altos Cabins. We send so many Buckmaster Show listeners over there for a weekend outing or even during the week. They all have a great time. You can find out more at Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico on their fine website, southwestnewmexico.org, spelled out. With me in studio, David Saphir. David writes for Blog for Arizona, also does a column for the Tucson Weekly on Education and the Northwest Explorer. David, let's go back to the live line. We have Jim Kelly with us, and he would like to do a little sparring with you. David, I think you're ready to go a few rounds, aren't you? Okay, Jim, go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, Bill. Thanks for letting me on. David, you know, I respect your knowledge and your background in education, but there's a couple of things I need to take your task for with, and that's, number one, is about the funding. When we start talking about the amount of money that goes per student to a charter kid and per student to a regular district kid, there's about a $2,000 variance between them because of the federal funding and things like that. Now, there still isn't anything that I've been shown that says money improves achievement. What improves achievement is what's going on at home. And that's where I think our state needs to be concentrating on, not necessarily on per pupil funding. The other side of the coin is that charter schools, private schools, they have more homogenous student bases, and they are not forced to spend money that a district is, like an ELL or the two free meals a day and all that kind of stuff. So there is a disparity there that goes on in terms of how much a particular student will get more than, say, a seatmate does, simply because of their economic positions at home. So again, none of it has anything to do with achievement. And a perfect example is comparing the schools in Nogales to, say, the Sunnyside School District. Why does Nogales achieve more when you are looking at very similar economics?
A lot of questions. The first one, in terms of the funding, I purposely chose the average child in the average seat because you're absolutely right. Charter schools have fewer ELL kids. They have fewer special ed kids. They don't give bus transportation, so they don't get money for that. As you mentioned, they don't offer cafeterias. Most of them don't give free or reduced lunch, so they don't get money for that. And they do get a bit of a boost from the state because they don't get the local funds. And this is way above my pay grade. I was an English teacher, not an economist. But so far as I can tell, this argument goes back and forth, give or take $1,000 or $2,000, district to district and school to school. Now, the other thing you brought up I think is hugely important. Absolutely, home life matters. And absolutely, economics matters. And absolutely, poverty is the most determining factor of how students achieve in school in general, not individual students. This is internationally, worldwide. You look at the international tests, poor kids do worse than middle class and wealthy kids. That always happens. But it's not an either or. It's a both and. You've got to combine, first of all, I think the income level has got to be brought up so kids have more fiscal, and that gives them emotional and psychological stability. You've got to have more help in the home from people who often aren't educated enough to do it well. But you've also got to have schools that can complement that. Yes, the amount of funding does matter. It's not a direct relationship, but it does matter. Nogales and Sunnyside, I'm trying to cover all your issues here. That's really a quandary. Also, Flowing Wells does better, defies the averages, and those things have got to be looked at. But simply because there are anomalies that one does better than another doesn't mean funding doesn't matter. And because we're the second or third lowest state in per school funding, studies have shown that our students, who are the equivalent of students in other states, do worse than those students by a bit. And funding is one of the reasons.
And we've been in that bottom tier forever, it seems. Quickly, let's go now to Matthew. Matthew, can you make this real quick?
Yeah, I'll try to. Dave, I read the $8 million critique. I disagree with you. I mean, if they're going to get a tax break, at least they're using it towards education. We got to look at the big picture. But aren't you concerned that, you know, they're going to, with the Arizona Supreme Court's recent decision, clearly public funding is going to be also be allocated in some small way towards private education, which is a reality now. So we really need to accept the money that we're getting from large corporations and increase the pot as much as possible.
Okay. Speaking of the Geico situation.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to say that I don't accept the idea that vouchers are a good idea. And by the way, the American people don't either. There has not been a state referendum of voters that's voted for vouchers forever, so far as I know.
Popularity for vouchers has been going down?
It's been going down. From last year to this year, it's about 10 points lower. The unpopularity is in the mid-60s. Utah, a very conservative state and a state with a lot of religious affiliation where people would probably want to put their kids in religious school, Utah voted down vouchers 3 or 4 years ago by a sizable amount. So people don't like vouchers. I don't like vouchers either. And Arizona has two what are called backdoor voucher programs put in by the legislature, but they never use the V word because they know that people don't like vouchers.
Quickly running out of time with David Safir, a blog for Arizona. Scores look pretty good when we compare the United States to other countries. We keep hearing that we are falling further and further behind. However, the scores, when you compare U.S. students with others across the globe, we're not doing that bad.
Well, when you break it down state by state, that's true. Massachusetts, in the latest score in terms of math, comes in fifth in the world, and the only countries that go better are some Asian countries, Korea, Singapore, Chinese Taipei, and Hong Kong is tied with Japan. And Vermont, Minnesota, New Hampshire, New Jersey, they're all right below Japan. All of these states score better in math than any European country. And a lot of these states have the same populations. So you want to look what's dragging down our scores? Look at the southern states and the southwestern states, and those are the ones that are dragging down the scores. But it's not that we're doing something wrong with education. States with greater poverty levels, states with lower educational attainment by the parents, those are the ones that are lower, not because we're giving inferior education.
Did you say anything about Arizona's scores?
Arizona is dead in the middle. Arizona is somewhere between, geez, I'm trying to think, it's like Italy and Lithuania or something like that, but is not bad. But no. Middle isn't great, but it's not bad. The ones that are below average, almost all of them are the same states that you look at other charts that say these are the states where that have the most kids in poverty. Poverty equals poor educational attainment. Every study shows that.
All right, David Safier, we can find out more about what you are writing at, it's very easy to find on the internet, blogforarizona.com.
Just blogforarizona.com, put in blog, put in Arizona, and it'll come up on Google.
All right. And also, you've got monthly columns in the Northwest Explorer, and look for David's piece in the Tucson Weekly online. And the online version usually comes out Wednesday evening, and then the hard copy everywhere else, usually Thursday, all around town. David, thank you very much.
Have a great
rest of the week and an upcoming weekend.
You too.
All right. Thanks a lot, David Safier. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show. Our guests, all of our in-studio guests, supplied with a nice bottle of Culligan water. David has been enjoying his during the past half hour of the interview. Better water, pure and simple, Culligan for all your year-round residential and commercial needs. So if you've got any water needs, Culligan can take care of you. Thanks to all of our listeners today. Let's welcome John C. Scott Show coming up 3 to 5 this afternoon here on KVOI. And then tomorrow morning, Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe. I'm Bill Buckmaster. I hope you have a great afternoon and evening. We'll be back with you at 12:04 tomorrow afternoon.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.